This is Forces Radio.
BFBS Original Music Specials.
From a council estate in North Shields to festivals and stadiums across the UK and Europe. Opening for Bob Dylan, Neil Young, and Liam Gallagher. Named as the Sound of 2018, winner of the Critics' Choice Brit Award for 2019, Sam Fender has claimed his spot as one of today's most exciting new artists. This is Hypersonic, the Sam Fender story. First of all, Sam Fender, welcome to BFBS HQ.
Hey, you all right?
I'm really good. More importantly, how on earth are you?
I'm good. I'm just ploughing through loads and loads of promo to get this album sold, man.
Yeah, I'll bet. I mean, have your feet even touched the ground? What in a crazy couple of years it's been for you.
I've not really stopped touring for like 2 years. Mm. I had like a little bit of time out when I kind of got a bit ill, but apart from that, I've been constantly at it. Like, but I'm loving it. Mm. You know, it's manic, but I'm sure I'll have a bit of a breakdown at Christmas, like when I figure out what the hell's going on. But I don't really have any time to kind of let it all sink in, really. You know, we're so busy all the time that
I've got visions of Sam Fender crying into his eggnog.
That'll be me,
consoling himself with sprouts.
I'll be crying on the cheese board, like last year. I had a whole block of Stilton and a bottle of port to myself, and
good
I thought
man.
I had gout the next day. I'm only 24.
Oh, that's legendary. Let's just go right back. We've been playing you on BFBS Dirt for a really long time now. You were spotted performing in a pub in your hometown, and it was Ben Howard's manager that first came along. So what happened at that point?
Well, I was working in the pub. I was, as you were saying, I was just pulling pints, and my manager, who looks like my bar manager at the time, who looked like Winston Churchill, it sounded like him. he was like, I was normally getting in trouble. He only ever called me stupid boy. Like, I never called us by my name. And because he used to just hit us across the head with newspapers and that.
He sounds delightful.
Oh, he's actually a legend. Like, he's a total legend. He's a kind of Robin Hood character. Like, he kind of never ever said that. He's like that dad that you kind of impress. Like, he never ever told us that he liked us, but he did. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And he was just like, so right, stupid boys, like, get your guitar out, go sit in the corner over there. And I was just like, right, what? I was like, nobody getting wrong. Like, what's going on here? And I sat down, played me guitar, and Ben Howlett's manager came over, Owen, and then. And then, yeah, we just we hit it off from then. And then he came back a week later with one of Ben's guitarists, and they sat and listened to us, and they were like, right, you're going to London, we're going to go and do some recording.
Wow.
And I genuinely welled up. Like, I was not in front of them, like, I went into the box. I went into the box and welled up in the cubicle, because I was just like, there's not really many prospects for singer-songwriters in the Northeast. It's quite hard, you know what I mean? Because we're just so detached, I think, you know, my things going on in Manchester and things going on in London, even though we've got the internet and all of that sort of stuff, if you don't have like management or things like that, it's very hard to get out of your hometown, you know what I mean?
So this was like a surprise audition that sort of Winston Churchill sprung on you.
Yeah, it's very, very, it's a very Disney-esque story, I'm not gonna lie.
It's like, cool.
It's very Disney style. Like, I had, you know, I was found in my hometown as a young lad struggling to get, you know what I mean? Like, it was, it's amazing because, yeah, me and my mum at the time were, I was working and stuff, but there was, you know, times we were on benefits and things like that, and we were struggling to pay rent and stuff, and now we don't, so it's great. You know?
How old were you, Sam, when this happened?
18.
Wow. I mean, that's so much to try and absorb. Sam, if we can jump ahead and have a look at one of the tracks that stood out on the album for me. I absolutely love track 5, You're Not the Only One, because it feels like a real nod to Springsteen. I mean, you can hear Born to Run throughout the track, the lyrics, that driving kind of bass line, and then keeping it completely 80s, you hit us with some sax. I mean, it's such a fantastic track.
It's basically an 80s stomper with big cheesy saxophone solos in and stuff like that, so it's kind of rocking, like.
But do you know what I've been saying for so long? Like, you know, good music, there's always a bit of sax in there.
Aye, aye.
So, do you know what I mean? Like, aye, aye. Big yourself up. That's great.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's have a listen to it now. This is track 5 off the debut album, Hypersonic Missiles, You're Not the Only One.
Defender, hypersonic missiles.
Forces Radio.
BFBS.
Now, Sam, when I was doing a bit of research on you and checking you out, your background and everything, I was amazed to hear all about your incredible family. There's music in your blood. I mean, your dad and your brother, both singer-songwriters.
Oh, yeah.
Is there going to be a family Fender collab at some point?
What, like the Osmonds?
Yes, exactly that.
God, I hope not. I hope not. Like, I think my dad kind of suggested it not long ago. My dad was like, you and Liam and me. He's like, we'll get in the studio. He's like, we'll start and we'll make a family thing. And I was like, aye. My brother was like, absolutely not, Dad. No chance. My brother's 10 years older than us. And my dad's a million years older than us.
That's such a dad thing to do, though, isn't it?
We all sound very different. To be honest, like, we probably will do it because we're kind of sad, like, and we might do it. But my dad's like, he's proper. He sounds like Huey Lewis, man. He's got a class voice. I'm actually scared to get in the booth with him, like, just in case he blows us out of the water.
He knows what he's doing. He sounds like he's been knocking about the scene for a while. Yeah, he knows what he's on about.
Big Alan, man.
Alan, all right, I'm going to keep my eyes peeled for that and
Alan
just,
Fender.
I mean, think about it. The family Fender, I mean, I see big things.
Big Alan.
Radio. BFBS, Sam Fender, hypersonic missiles.
So what are your musical influences when you were sort of growing up and knocking around North Shields?
God, I listen to everything from, like, I was listening to Arctic Monkeys to I was listening to Kendrick Lamar and rappers and stuff when mm-hmm. I was in school. But then back home, I'd be listening to everything from Otis Redding to Aretha Franklin to Bruce Springsteen to Joni Mitchell to Oasis to Nirvana to, like, there was a lot of music playing in the house, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I had all of that, and I had all that stuff. And then I was also hit 18, and I was also going to, like, I had a lot of mates who were into house music as well, so I'd end up in like raves and stuff. so I listened to a lot of different type of stuff as I grew up, and you know, so I'm a mixed bag, that's for sure. But what I will say is that I take pride in being a music fan in the sense that I actively try to find new music, and I champion music in all of its forms. I think, you know, I don't think there's a genre of music that I really, really, really dislike. I mean, there's a few things in the charts and stuff that I think's horrendous, but like majority of genres, I think there's good stuff in every genre, you know what I mean?
I agree. And when you've got these real sort of music Nazis, it's almost, why would you limit yourself? A good song is a good song, regardless of what genre.
That is the point. A good song is a good song, regardless of what format it's delivered in. I mean, I like stuff, you know, there's some great EDM tracks and there's great house tunes that I've loved over the years and all of that. But there's also horrendous house tunes and there's horrendous rap songs and there's horrendous rock songs and there's horrendous, you know, there's bad music everywhere.
Yeah, of course there is.
I mean, I'm pretty picky, like, I'm not going to lie. I can be a bit of a snob, like, but that's because I'm a musician, you know what I mean?
Sam Fender, what is so bad that it's so good? Like, if we had access to your phone right now and we were scrolling through your music files, what would be the most embarrassing track you've got on there?
I think I went through this phase where I hated the fact that I really liked this song. And I was like, I proper hate myself for liking this song because it's pure cheese. But I just, you know, Easy Lover by Phil Collins?
Yeah.
Such a banger, man. And it's so cheesy. And every time I hear it, I'm like, I love it.
Yeah.
Comes on, I can't stop dancing.
She's an easy life. Sam Fender, Hypersonic Missiles. Forces Radio. BFBS.
So the first studio album, Hypersonic Missiles, it's out now. How are you feeling? You're finally falling across the finishing line for the first album. And then I'm sure people are going to be like, oh, when's the second album coming out, Sam?
Well, I've already wrote the second album.
Wow. So, you're a machine.
Well, you know, this first record, like, some of these songs are 5-6 years old.
Mm.
And I put them on there because I knew that there's fans that have followed us since the really early days. And I feel like as an artist that has genuinely been built up by word of mouth and people and fans, I've got a lot to owe them. So I have a duty to give them the songs that they heard in the beginning as well. So a lot of this first record is all the embryonic stuff that I wrote when I was 19, 20, you know what I mean? So the second record was kind of already written. Majority of it, anyway.
Tell me a little bit about the first track, first of all.
Well, Hypersonic Missiles.
Yeah.
is the album title track. And I seen that a Russian scientist had leaked to NATO about a missile, the hypersonic missile being this warhead that can travel at 2 kilometers a second and more. It travels at speeds of Mach 5 to 11 or something,
yeah.
Metal 5 and above or something. It was Mach 5 and then there's some organ right up the Mach 11 or something daft like that. And this missile can, you know, it hits its target within 6 seconds of it launching and can it be shot down by American satellite defense systems, which I found utterly terrifying and kind of sexy at the same time.
Mm.
So I was like, you know, I was like, this is mental, like that. This is the world that I live in, and then I've got this in my paper. So I started writing this song about this this like tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist believing crazy person who's like hopelessly addicted to the fruits of the Western world and loves burgers and loves the telly and loves like but who is also in love with somebody but is terrified that the world's going to end at any moment.
Mm.
Loosely based on myself. just this crazy little and then I created that song. It was just mainly about that, but it was kind of more of a song about, you know, about hope and about love and about how, like, no matter how wild our globe is becoming and how there's a lot of turmoil and there's a lot of war and there's a lot of crazy politics flying around, like, and a lot of division. I think, you know, I feel like the left and the right in this world are so far from each other now.
Mm.
I feel like the opinions, the division of opinion is getting so far away from each other that it's becoming harder to be diplomatic, I think, with everybody. Especially with everything that's gone on, Brexit, there's so much division there as well, isn't there?
Mm.
And so I wanted just to write a song about kind of hope and about, like, even though this character's like, the world's going to end, but even though it's going to end, he's like, I'm going to have a good time and I'm in love with this person and we're going to have a good time and we're going to get smashed and we're going to spend every bit of time that we've got having a good time. And I think that's what this song is about mainly.
Dutch kids hot balloons in the parking lot. The gold notches illuminate the business park. I eat myself to death, feed the corporate machine. I watch the movies, recite every line and scene. God bless America and all of its allies. I'm not the first to live with wool over my eyes. I am so blissfully unaware of everything. Kids in Gaza are bombed and I'm just out of it. The tensions of the world are rising higher. We're probably due another war with all this ire. I'm not smart enough to change a thing. I have no answers, only questions, don't you?
Radio
BFBS.
Sam Fender.
You've been touring back to back. You're a grafter, Sam, and no one can take that away from you, because my God, you've been burning the candle at both ends for a long time now. You got quite ill this year, and it was your vocal cords.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, singer-songwriter, my God, you have to take it a bit easy there.
Yeah.
You had to cancel several gigs, including Glasgow.
Yeah, well, people were kind of going, oh, he's just, you know, he doesn't care, he's being lazy and stuff. And when I, like, cancelled Glasgow, I think people were like, oh, actually, maybe he is ill, you know what I mean? But, you know, people on Twitter are harsh, but they don't know what they're doing, because they didn't sing songs, so, like, I don't have to explain myself to any of them. You know what I mean? If you're not well enough to do the job, you don't do it. You know what I mean? And I said I'm not going to go on stage and disappoint people. I'd rather not be on the stage and disappoint people than go on and make a fool out of myself. So, damage my voice to a point where I can't sing again.
Yeah.
And I nearly got to that stage, because we just ragged it so many times. We did so many shows. I mean, those times in the early days we were in South by Southwest and stuff, we were doing 3 shows in a day. And I mean, that's just ridiculous. Like, you vocally can't actually, your vocal cords can't take that if you're singing the type of songs that I was singing. You know, it's a lot of high range. It takes a lot of technique and takes a lot of care as well. You've got to look after it. So, and it's hard to do that as well when you've got so many amazing things happening around you. You obviously want to be human as well, and you want to have time to celebrate. But you've got to be clever. So I took a bit of time out, and luckily I didn't have to do any surgery or anything like that. I just had 2 weeks of utter silence where I just played PlayStation, I played Battlefield, and just like, you know, just bayoneted loads of people online. And then once I came out the other end of that, and then my voice came back, and it took, I had like a 2 weeks of rehabilitation to build it back up again.
Wow.
And now it's the strongest it's ever been. So
oh, that's really good.
I'm,
and you know,
back
what,
in action.
That, good for you. Because I mean, for an artist, especially as an up and coming artist, I say that with obviously full respect, but to get offered Glastow, they're the memories.
Hopefully,
that,
hopefully I'll get it again.
Of course you will.
You know what I mean?
100% you will.
I've dreamed of playing Glastonbury all my life, and I've still not been to Glastonbury, and it's like doing me head in that I've missed it.
Can I give you a super hot tip?
All right then.
Okay, when you go, take a padlock.
Right.
So that you can have access to your own bog.
Right, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so take a padlock, claim a bog, and then it is yours, and you don't have to literally put up with other people's
That's kind of military, that, like, I mean, that's how you, I can tell this is like forces radio, like,
that's right.
You're going in and literally, you're literally claiming parts of Glastonbury as your own.
That's right. We've gone rogue. We're claiming the bogs.
That's right. Well, I might do that, you know.
Just do it. Just do it. Now you've rested your voice. You're back on top form, and then you're back supporting like Bob Dylan and Neil Young.
Wild.
I mean, how did you get your head around supporting like giants like that?
I didn't. I just got up and shivered the way through it. But yeah, it was a mental. No, it was mad. It was just nuts.
Did they talk to you? Did they offer you any advice or anything like that?
Not a chance. I didn't get a peep out of either of them. But no, I don't think they knew I was even there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you're that big, you have such an entourage around you, and so much of it becomes kind of delegated that I don't think they would have even been aware that I was standing outside of that room's screaming, Bob, let's in, please. I just want Bob. Can I have an autograph, please? It was just amazing. Like, you know what I mean? It was mental.
I mean, yeah. I bet Bob Dylan doesn't have to take a padlock to Glastow. Let's face it.
No, he doesn't.
No. That's right. They sat together in the park as the evening sky grew dark. She looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate. They walked along by the old canal, a little confused, I remember well, and stopped into a strange hotel with a neon burning bright. He felt the heat of the night hit him like a freight train moving with a simple twist of fate. A saxophone someplace far off played as she was walking on by the arcade, as the light bust through a beat up shade where he was waking up. She dropped a coin into the cup above a blind man at the gate and forgot about a simple twist of fate. Was bare. He didn't see her anywhere. He told himself he didn't care. Pushed the window open wide. Felt that emptiness inside, to which he just could not relate. Brought on by a simple twist of fate. He hears the ticking of the clock, walks along with a parrot that talks, hunts her down by the waterfront docks where the sailors all come in. Maybe she'll pick him out again. How long must he wait? One more time for a simple twist of fate. People tell me it's a sin to know and feel too much within. I still believe She was my twin, but I lost the rain. She was born in spring, but I was born too late. Blame it on this simple twist of fate.
Radio. BFBS, Sam Fender, Hypersonic Missiles.
Okay, Sam, now back to your debut album. I asked you off air what would be your favourite track on this album. And after much debate, you said, well, it'd be The Borders. So why did you pick the second track on the album? Why The Borders?
The Borders is the first time that I ever wrote a song that's kind of got actual biographical things linked to it. It's a fictional story about two brothers who have very different lives. They're not actual brothers, they're friends who are raised like brothers. And their lives go very, very, two very separate ways. And some of the things that happen in the song I've kind of taken from my own life. And I wanted to just create a story that was inspired by those experiences. And it was kind of a way for me to gain some sort of cathartic thing from it, I think, because without sounding like a pure cheese ball, writing is a therapy in a way for me. It's my therapy, man. And and basically, that's kind of where The Borders came from. I wrote that song about that. And it's kind of about the guilt as well that comes with sort of doing well and the kind of imposter syndrome sort of feeling that I have when I'm going to these like award ceremonies and stuff. Like I was saying the other day, like last night or two nights ago, I was at the GQ Awards, and I was wearing like a Hugo Boss tuxedo, and I'm like thinking, Christ almighty, like 3 years ago I was on benefits. like what's going on here, you know what I mean? Essentially, it's about how much me life has kind of changed, and I'm aware of how lucky I am, you know?
You and This is Forces Radio.
BFBS.
Sam Fender.
Can I shout out the Inniskill and Dragoons, please?
Well, I was just going to ask you if you've got any military connections, actually.
Yeah, I do. I want to shout out the Inniskill and Dragoons for my stepdad. He's a tank boy. And just shout out for the RAF as well, because my grandpa, he was a radio op, and he jumped all the way through World War II in Africa.
Wow.
in Yugoslavia, in France, and he fought the Nazis. And fought the Nazis in Africa as well. So he was a top boy. And,
amazing.
And he opened up to us about all of it, kind of in the very last year of his life when I was 13. Because obviously I was like one of those annoying little 13-year-olds, like, "Grandad, what did you do in the war?" You know what I mean? Like, and eventually he opened up to it. And now I've just been given off me gran. I've been given a box full of stuff with journals. And loads of amazing documents, some real like proper RAF, proper field document, mad stuff like this, with accounts of them, you know, crossing over five enemy lines of five enemy armies in the cover of dark and stuff, and all of this.
Wow.
All of the kind of he spared the gory details when he told me in person when I was a kid, but now that I've got all of these things, he doesn't miss anything out, and it's really insane. So just a shout out to the RAF, and just come home wherever you are, make sure you come home safe. Also a shout out to the paratroopers as well, to all the paratroopers out there, because I've got a lot of good friends. Obviously my grandpa jumped as well, but I've got a lot of good mates in the paras as well, and my good friend Graham, who isn't a para anymore, but he still goes out to the Middle East to do work out there. So just make sure you come home safe, mate, and see your family, because he's got a daughter now and stuff like that. So,
oh, that's lovely, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
What about you? If you had to join the military, would you pick the army, the navy, or the air force?
I'll try my best to get into the paras, because they're hard as out.
Yeah, they are.
I'd probably try to get, because my granddad did that. My granddad used to jump out of planes and that. So I think if I was going to do it, I would want to jump out of planes just like my granddad.
That is very cool. Now, you've got a whole heap of dates coming up. So you're rested, you're ready to rock and roll. The album is out now. Tell us all about your dates.
I've got loads of dates that I didn't even know when they are. There's just loads. Basically, I'm touring for the rest of the year. I'll be in your city at some point, so just come along. The tour's between November, December, and October, November, December time, end of the year. So if there's anyone on leave and they want to come along.
Well, listen, Sam, if you ever get a chance, you have to pop in to BFBS HQ so we can show you all the places we go out and maybe take you around to a couple of bases.
Why aye. Cracking. Well, let's get that sorted then, shall we?
Okay, perfect. There's only one thing left to do, Sam. If I could just get you to give a message to the troops, because there's a lot of people listening to you today
totally.
Around the forces world.
Yeah, of course. Be sharp, saying out. Be sharp, saying out. Come home. Make sure you come home. I think that's the most important thing, because there's a lot of people there. A lot of people want you to get back. Mm. Look after each other. And obviously keep on rocking in the free world.
Couldn't have said it better. Like your mate that you've been touring with, Neil Young. We're going to have to play ourselves out with that. Keep on rocking in the free world. Sam Fender, thank you so much for joining us at Forces Radio BFBS.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you very soon. Thank you, Sam.
Take care.
Keep on rocking in the free world. Keep on rocking in the free world. digital radio, FM, and satellite TV in the UK.
Online and on air, around the world.
This is Forces Radio. Forces Radio.